Welcome to Christ's Blessing on this 24th day of October. Oh my goodness, we are deep into autumn now, and it's lovely here. You know, people who live down here pray for this season, because when it's cold and damp, it hurts. When it's hot and moist, it hurts. The springs and the falls are just seasons to live for. I don't want to say to die for, because who wants to die in those times? Those are the most perfect times of the year, and we are glad to have them. But most of all, I'm glad to be here with you. This is springtime in my heart always, and a glorious climate in my heart, where I just move into the season of love every time. So welcome, and I hope that you are picking up some of this wonderful energy, and you will take it to your life and your heart today. I don't see anyone yet on the board, but I do welcome comments, requests for blessings, and expressions of gratitude for blessings received. Because as we interact more and more with the community, we become more solidified, more certain, and more standing in our faith as what we know we deserve and we need, and it shall be. Too often, faith is viewed as a kind of wishful thinking, like, well, all right, I'll put it out there. But that's not going to get the job done. Standing in your faith is actually what brings the need, the opportunity, the pleasure to you. And so we come together as a community so that together it's easier to stand in your faith. And let's just hear from someone on our call. Rick is on. Rick, your line is open, and I'm so happy to hear from you.
I am here every Sunday. I don't call in very often. This week I was very compelled. I get a weekly vlog called Air of Peace, and she is gathering light workers around the world for 40 years. And the message this week was that it's really important for the light workers to go ahead and pray for those that have not embraced the light yet, that they're very close. Mm-hmm. And it's a critical time for us to pull the rest over. And it's easier than we think. We just have to be consistent in our affirmation and love to embrace those that, despite what appears on the surface to be the most despicable behavior, they're still our sisters and brothers, and they, you know, instead of feeling rejected and hated and discriminated against, you know, embrace them with love and they'll come in the light.
Amen. And, you know, it helps to already be in a state of unity with others who are in the light, who do come from their heart, who do live by their faith. Because if you're welcoming someone home, you want there to be someone there more than just yourself. So I find that there are people who might not, I wouldn't say dislike me, but they might not gravitate to me if all I was just an individual approaching them or an individual speaking to them. They might think, I don't want to talk to her. Who is she? But, you know, when I speak from the heart of our unity, when I speak as our community on behalf of the unity I represent, then it becomes like a message from home. Like, phone home, brother. We're here waiting for you. And it does make a difference. It really does. I become more than I am, and then people want to be with me. When I'm only as I am, well, I attract the people who would normally like me, and the others might say, you know, I got better things to do. Yeah, and that's the way it is in life, and you know, we just have to accept that. But the more we stand in our faith with others, the more we create an opportunity for inclusion to those who feel excluded. And I think the exclusion is almost always a collective issue. I don't think anyone who has, well, for example, racial issues, I don't think they're upset about one person rejecting them. They're upset about a class of people not including them. You see, there's a big difference. And so when you stand in the world as the body of Christ, shall we say, the community of Christ, there's a whole unity of brothers and sisters that are holding out their arms and take your pick. It doesn't matter which one of us you like, because we're all of one voice. And so that's how much I treasure this community, because this community has become my extended voice, and it has made such a difference for the work that I do in the world. And thank you, Rick, for expressing that and bringing that up as an important subject, because it is just a thread of difference between the ones who have issues against the light and the ones who are standing in the light. And that thread of difference is they don't feel included. No one wants to be excluded.
No.
Being included is a very, very big part of survival. But it's also a big part of advancement. It's a big part of attainment and achievement and upward mobility. And so being excluded is a threatening thing to a human soul, a human heart, and a human mind. And that's what we've got. That's what we've got to cure. I don't think there'll ever be a time when everybody likes everybody as an individual. But they'll tolerate you. They'll tolerate me if I'm part of a group that includes them. I hope I said that okay.
No, it makes sense. It makes total sense.
Yeah. Sometimes it's really hard on us because, well, I've experienced this going out to carry the message of Yeshua, and I have to really be humble when I go in front of a group of people because I know not everybody's going to like me as a person. Not everybody's going to even trust me as a person. But if I speak for him, and I speak for the body of Christ, and the union of souls that are here to embrace the light and bring a more loving condition to the world, they'll find a way to accept me. Maybe not directly, but indirectly because of what I represent. And I think that humility of person is a very big step that we all have to achieve. And it was a big one for me because I had had a previous career of being an artist where an ego doesn't do you much good, but you do have to stand in your power as an artist because people want to know what motivated you to do that. How did you create that? What skills have you developed? So it really is about you. And I had to do a flip-flop. And it was one of the most rewarding flip-flops I have ever done in my life. Because it allowed me to be more than I am. And there's nothing greater than that. So thank you for inspiring this response here. And I know exactly what you're talking about. I pray for it every day.
Okay, great.
Yeah. And Jerome, you are on. I'm going to open your line right now. Welcome to our beautiful community.
Well, welcome and welcome and blessings to you, Glenda. All the best to you with Yeshua and everything that you connect with the higher spirit of the universe. I thank you. I thank you. Blessings to my family, but our blessings with you and everything you are forever and always, because you're light and love and peace and joy that help us all. You're helping all of us.
Oh, thank you so much. And I've got possibly good news. Well, it's exciting news. I don't know how good it is yet, but I think I've said on several calls that I'm preparing to move in the near future. And I think I mentioned last week that I had my home. Well, we got it listed this week, and the listing didn't actually go up until Sunday because of some technical reasons. Anyway, we already have two appointments to show the house, one this afternoon after our call and one in the morning. So we're getting great response, and just hold me in your thoughts that we get our offer met and I get to move on my way to my next appointed stopping place on the parade route. And I'm pretty excited about that. And I'm really excited about the positive response. So hold me in your prayers that the stress is soon going to be over. And your little inspiring teacher on Sunday is going to be on her way.
Good. Good, good, good. So thank you, and thank you, and thank you.
Yeah, and thank you, Jerome, and to our wonderful community that I know has been holding me up in the light so that I could get onward through all of this stress without it actually becoming stress. And it does make a difference.
Good, good, good. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Jerome. And blessings to your family and everyone you love. Okay, Elizabeth, you are on, and I just opened your line.
Oh, hi, Glenda. I just wanted to say amen to everything you and Rick was speaking about. And I just wanted to call today to say thank you to you, Yeshua, the community, because I just realized how important this Sunday gathering has been to me especially over the pandemic. I was here years before that, but I live alone in New York and we all need each other so much. And I just got a big whammy in my brain today of just how much you all mean to me. And, you know, Tony, for instance, I miss Tony so much. He was such a light.
I know, I do too.
Yes, and it just feels like family, and what Rick was saying about those who haven't quite got to the light yet, and what you said about welcoming, open arms, it all just went in with exactly what I'm thinking. And my sister just got a sale on her house in just outside Tucson, Arizona, so your house is next. Everything I've been praying for my sister has come true. My friend George in New Orleans is moving into a new place after his was destroyed with Ida. I mean, my friends are just getting blessings that I've put on, whose names I've put on the call, just overflowing blessings. And I'm blessed just to be here talking to you today because I feel like I have a family, and that's so important. And I just wanted to say a big, big thank you. That's all I can say. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You are
so
welcome.
For being here for us every Sunday through thick and thin and the loss of your beloved. And now, you know, I know the moving of a house can be stressful, but yours will go and you'll find your next right place. And God's in heaven and all is right with the world is how I feel today because of this call every Sunday. So God bless you.
Well, I do too, and you are my family. So thank you all for being here and for all the love you put into this union that we share. So we move on, and be blessed, Elizabeth. Think about you often, and about Tony. Oh, he is here every Sunday. You can be sure of that. Sometimes I actually talk to him, but I was feeling it's like he's I feel somebody nudge and ask me if I put the recording on. You know, if I did everything I'm supposed to do. And I'll say, yes, thank you, Tony, I did. So just relax and enjoy. And, of course, Larry is here. And we have, and I was thinking about Desmond last night. And I don't think about him very often because I know that he's going through his own spiritual elevation right now, where he's moving from where he left off to where he will become. And, but last night I was thinking about it. I said, Desmond, we miss you. Will you please show up on the call? And I could feel his spirit just laugh, you know.
Right.
So we have lost, well, I shouldn't say lost. We have had many friends move on to higher ground.
Yes.
And I know they're here with us and ensuring that we are ready to move up and ready to welcome us when we do. You know, I think because of the many, many people I have worked with in hospice, not so much the patient in hospice, but the family of the patient in hospice would call me and ask for compassionate care. Well, one of the things I found to be the greatest concern is, where will my beloved go? I know there's heaven. I believe if anyone deserves to be in heaven, he or she will go there. But how does it work, and how will I know they arrive safely, and is there a welcoming party, and can we connect with them there? They are really, really concerned about the disconnection and fear that their loved one might become lost. You know, we all want to belong, and we all need to belong. And by our faith, I want you to understand there's no way you could not belong. You were created by God in the union of the Holy Spirit to be united forever. If only your condition or your perception of conditions or your attitude about conditions that causes you to separate out. God didn't leave you. And you really didn't leave God. It's just your attitude took you to a different place, or your lack of faith took you to a different place, or your uncertainties, or maybe even misbehavior and a feeling of guilt took you to a place where you felt unworthy to belong. And there are a lot of people who feel unworthy to belong. They don't want to enter a picture with shame. And they feel if they join a church, when they've lived a life of, let's say, marginal behavior, they may be shamed. And they don't want that. And they'll stay out because of that. We've got to let them know that when they enter a community of love, they're not coming in with any judgment. We don't even see the things they're worried about. That's private. That belongs to them. That's between them and God. It's not. We want them. We benefit by having them. We want a larger group of love on this earth. We'll take, come to us and see if we don't take you. We will take you. And all we will see is what's good about you. And there's plenty of good about everybody. There really is. There's plenty of good about everybody. And there's a little bit in everybody that might need to be forgiven or, let's say, polished up a little bit. So there's no perfect person that walks into this fold of love. We come here because God created us to be here. And then we let the rest of everything take care of itself. So that's kind of my attitude about this, my take on this, is it doesn't even involve forgiveness. Let's just look at Yeshua on the cross, ready to transition over in his last moments of immeasurable pain. We can't even imagine how great the pain was. Well, it might have been great enough to kick in the numbing effect. But anyway, there he was, a thief, dying beside him. looks over, and he says, I know who you are. And Yeshua said, and you shall be with me today in paradise. He didn't say, "And you're forgiven, my son." He didn't say, "Well, come to me and I will forgive, I will make you whole, I will make you perfect." No. He just said, "You will be with me today in paradise." It's when you come back to God, when you come back to the residence of God inside yourself, no forgiveness required. No forgiveness required. And now that doesn't mean that you might not have some homework to go back and do so that then you can be a more presentable person back into the world, that you can actually do your work better in the world, and you can accomplish more in the world. You might have some house cleaning to do. You might have to do a little bit of polish and clean up, put a brand new suit of clothes on. You know, we all have to do things like that. Oh my gosh, can you imagine what I had to do becoming a representative for Christ? For heaven's sake. You know, I had no skeletons in my closet. I really didn't. I had no bad deeds I had to get over. But I had been an artist, and as an artist, I had lived kind of freestyle living where I didn't justify all my behavior, and I didn't even think about, well, is it proper to wear short skirts or tight pants or, I didn't think about how I presented myself to the world. To me, creativity was the presentation to the world. Being original. One of the things I can say in a positive way is all of my life, I have been kind. I was a genuinely kind person. When I was a child in school, gaining my first togetherness with my classmates, they called me Angel because they said, "You're just too sweet to be human." And I almost took it like a rejection, like, "Oh, what do I have to do to belong? Do I have to go hang from a tree by my heels? What do I have? Do I have to throw rocks? What do I have to do to belong?" And they just kept calling me Angel. All the way through high school, I was Angel. And when we finally signed our 12th grade, class album, you know, where everybody signs their best wishes and their farewell, their whole class, you pass it around the whole class. Well, everybody called me, signed it to Angel. So, I think they got that because I was kind to everything. You couldn't find a baby frog I wouldn't rescue. You couldn't find, every challenged child in our class would gravitate to me, and I would be their best friend. I was the Pied Piper of anybody who needed to be lifted up. So I had these qualities all my life. I can say that. But my social qualities, well, now that's another thing. I mean, I really worked hard to try to be the artistic type. And, I had to learn to put on a lady suit and high heels and, put my hair up. And so, I had to go to finishing school to get ready to be in all these fine churches that I took. So we all have to do some polishing up. And it's just part of life. It's just part of life. But that doesn't mean, not one thing that Yeshua said to me when he came to me, "I will forgive you so that you can do this portrait." Not once did he even intimate that I wasn't good enough. Not once did he ever make me feel that I would be unworthy until I walked the trail of penance. Never, never. He isn't like that. He is one who only sees the goodness in us. And then he lets us do whatever polishing up, repair work we need to do for ourselves in order to do better work in the world. Okay? And that's up to us. And without judgment. There's no judgment with him. None. So don't ever feel that you're going to have to wear a coat of shame to come to him. A coat of guilt to be in front of him. You probably will kneel because he's awesome. He is really awesome. But not because he stands above you. It's because he actually stands for you. And it may be nobody else in your life has ever done that before. And it's an amazing experience when it happens. Okay, I'm going to move on and take some more calls because we got to get through this. And I could just go on forever talking about how wonderful it is to be with Yeshua. That story just doesn't end. Okay, well, I'm going to bring Christopher on the line. Christopher, hello.
Wow, that was really awesome what you just shared, Glenda. I really feel validated, you know, because whenever I experience his presence, that's exactly what I feel, complete unconditional acceptance and overflowing joy for exactly who I am. And it's incredible. And also just the thing about polishing and how hard that can be for me sometimes, that refinement process of like the hard edges being softened.
Yeah.
And what you said is so perfect, you know, just being able to work better in the world. Similar to you, I've been an artistic type my whole life, kind of a mystic, you know, like a nature boy.
Mm-hmm.
I like to be in nature. I might even have things in my hair because I was laying on the ground, you know.
I can relate to that.
I had to learn how to, you know, get the right haircut and the right clothes and all that kind of thing. But the reason why I called in today, I determined to myself last night that I would speak to this today. And I just remembered something you said several months ago when you were going through the loss of Larry and you know, in retrospect, after you went through Tony's loss and Desmond and, I mean, all the things that have happened this last year, you mentioned something about how, I think, if I'm correct, that there were times when you felt like you wanted to go and be with them. And that there was a breakthrough that you had where you realized that you had to be here. It was still time to be here. And I just wanted to share that last night I had this realization, you know, I've moved so many times in my life, always looking for home. Where's home? And never felt home. You know, felt beautiful experiences, but never anywhere solid, you know? And, and I realized on a deep, deep, deep level that there's a part of me that just doesn't want to be here on this planet, that's having a hard time saying yes, fully yes. Even though I work hard and I'm passionate and I try to keep a positive attitude and I feel God with me and I keep doing my work and serving people and being, you know, doing the, you know, refining and polishing. I just came to that realization, an honest realization last night that somewhere deep inside me, I just think it's too hard. I want to go home. It's not that I want to commit suicide. It's not even close to that. But I just felt like I was supposed to share this today because it's really true on some level in me. And I don't, maybe it's true for other people as well. And I just wanted to put that out there.
I think it's only natural, Christopher. And this is why Yeshua made the comment, I am in the world, but not of the world. It's why he would go to the desert just to be with himself and the bare soil of the earth and God in the heavens, because that was his way of going home. And I think it's important that each of us has our own little special way of going home, that we can know we are in the world and not of the world. So you have to find how to do that. There's a bridge in your life that will be perfect for you. And you find that bridge, and then you cross it as often as you need to. And you go, you can call it the rainbow bridge. sometimes we use that term to speak of the love kids that have gone home. But it applies to anyone, like the song, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Bluebirds fly, bluebirds sing. it doesn't matter. There are bluebirds over the rainbow. And for some of us, just finding something to laugh about will take us across the bridge. And we're there. So, it's a good thing to realize, Christopher. Just don't take it in the sense of attitude. Like, I don't want to be here anymore. You know, just let go. The world is what it is. It is what it is. And right now, one person is not going to change it. As a really, really large group of enlightened people, we will change it. We will. By the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, amen, it will be changed. But one of us alone, we're not going to change it. And so we have to stand in our humility against the ways of the world, that they are what they are because, you know, why they are the way they are is because people have had hard lives to survive through. Just roll back the clock of time to 100,000 years ago. Think about the life expectancy, the fact that people lived virtually in the wild and could be killed by a man-eating tiger. Not to mention they had no cures for disease. And the number one killer in the ancient days of the earth was starvation. Number one, starvation. Life was hard, and people fought hard to survive. And the world we see today is the legacy of that hardball played survival. Survival that was played hardball. And that's why the world is the way it is. But we've got to let people know you don't have to play hardball to survive. There's a better way. And we want to show you. And that's what it really comes down to, Christopher. And that's what you've decided to do in your life. You want to show people a better way to get where they want to go. But part of what motivates you to do it is you've experienced this hardball world where people play tough. They play tough and the edges are cutting. You know? You've seen it and you want to help change it. So that's your motivation. Well, Christopher, you and I could go on and on forever also, but there's more people on the board. So let's take it.
Thanks, Glenda.
Okay.
Love you.
Yeah. Love you too. Okay, Nancy and Gary, my dear friends. Hey,
hi,
did you hear the news?
I'm just happy to hear this news, Glenda. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. But hi, everybody. Everything everybody's been saying, wow, it's just really rich and beautiful and, you know, helps me be strong so that I can live from a higher level to help pull those folks up, you know? I heard a word the other day, Glenda, and I was thinking it represents the whole community and especially you. And it wasn't visionary, but it was solutionary from the soul. And I just thought, gosh, that's what it's about, you know, the expression of the soul when we feel like we're in paradise and going home with them. Because I, you know, in the same time, Glenda, he did say, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. So when we encounter the ones that really don't remember who they are and aren't being the love that they are, it's easy to say, well, I can forgive them because they really don't remember and they don't know what they're doing. How could you be doing that if you remember who you were, you know?
Right. That's right. You wouldn't.
And I think this community is so great because it helps us really, you know, gather strength of the Holy Spirit and stand in our truth because we really have to know. Sometimes for me right now, it does feel like there's some spiritual warfare going on in a weird sort of way, but I think standing in our strength and just, you know, being the love that we are. I miss that bumper sticker that used to be on my car. Love is who you are. And I think it always confused people, but I always felt it was such a blessing for people to see.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, because it causes people to stop when they're just behind you. Love is who I am, you know? It's just the answer to everything.
Yeah.
So
maybe we should get that again.
I think we should. I miss it. I want to get it back. So, but anyway, love to everybody. And I just wanted to say I love you and thank you to everyone for always sharing so beautifully. And also just I do want some blessings for my little new baby, grandbaby girl that's coming in 2 weeks. So, Amber, have a nice, wonderful, blessed birth and another beautiful baby coming into our lives. So thank you.
That's going to be great. Well, let us know. Let us know when she arrives.
I will.
We want to celebrate her life.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, all right. We're going to take some more. Love you both. And
love you
too. Take care. Okay. We're going to open the line to Eva. Hello, Eva.
Hi. Yeah. This is Eva, and thank you for everything that's happening here today. It's great. Glenda, I wish you the best in your next new journey and adventure, whatever you want to call it. It's beautiful to be able to move on to something new, sometimes difficult, however, I've learned. I would like to ask blessings for, I've talked about this before, my niece and nephew who took care of my sister for many years, and then she died and never had updated her will according to what she wanted to give to them. And now the my nephew, Phil, is in charge of the proceedings and has decided that all of the land should be sold. So that's, of course, been distressing for them. Of course, he says they can buy it back from the estate, so we're not sure what's happening there. We're trying to encourage her to find other sources and be able to possibly do something better than that. So blessings for Carol and her sister Laura and her brother Phil, that the whole family may somehow find out that love is the answer to all of it, and things will work out accordingly. So we had the memorial for my two older sisters who we couldn't have earlier in the because of the pandemic. And that was a real blessing. It just really, out of 10 of the children, I have one sister left now. And it just really gave me a, in getting together with family, the perception of the two worlds coming together is the way I felt so strongly. And I think that's what's really happening here. In our blessing calls, too, with the people that have moved on, and yet they are here. And I felt that very strongly, especially with my mother, thinking about her and the family, that she I had a lot of difficulties because of my father dying before I was born and family being separated, but she eventually got us back together in later years, and we learned the lesson of love. After lots of difficulties. So I'm wishing that for this family, my nephew and nieces, that they too may find that love is the answer to it, and somehow the farm will be preserved in a better way than what he is thinking of, which I'm sure is just development, and we don't need any more of that. So thank you for the blessings. And yes, and one other thing which I wanted to mention, we sang This Is My Father's World at the memorial. And somebody on the call some time back mentioned this song in a very different way than I had often thought of it. I thought of it as nature. But this was about that this is my father's world still, no matter what is going on. And then as I came to the end of the song, and it says, Jesus who died shall be satisfied and earth and heaven be one. And that really struck a chord with me for this memorial, because I was thinking in those terms, and I sang that song probably hundreds of times and never really caught that before, and that this is really what we're working for heaven and earth to be one.
Yes, so we're all, and I feel that that heaven and earth are closer than they have ever been.
Yeah, that's the way I felt.
Despite all the troubles on the world, despite all the destruction, the trouble, the conflict,
right,
the distrust, I am feeling heaven coming closer to earth.
Yes.
And it's
yes.
really, really interesting to me.
And that's what happened with my husband's death. It was like I had never, never, ever felt the kind of peace that came into our whole house when he left. And it was just such a wonderful gift. I said, this is heaven. This is really heaven. And I used to sing the song, the spiritual. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. And I used to think, well, how does that happen? You know, and suddenly that was it for me. And no matter what had happened in the past, all the difficulties, any disagreements, anything that ever happened, it was as though it didn't happen. And that suddenly it was changed in that moment. And I said, oh, that's what that song's about. Somebody knew that and sang it. And I sang it many times. Didn't understand it at the time. And so those things are coming clearer.
Well, thank you, Eva, for all of your inspiration. And we will remember your family and the estate. And we hope that the estate will be lifted up as well as the people involved.
I would love to see that farm preserved in some way because it's beautiful. They're on a river and a bayou, and I certainly don't want to see that go up in housing. And they find a lot of Indian artifacts. My son-in-law, they found lots of arrowheads, and actually he's sending one to my grandson who just turned 13. He said, well, he wants to send him. Oh, he's going to send one of his.
Well, I could just talk on and on forever with you, Eva. We have to get started.
I know you have
time, but we've got other people in the queue.
Right.
And we're running out of time. Okay. Yes. So we got to move on. All right.
Okay.
Bye, dear. All right.
Bye.
Nancy, you are on. Just opened your line. We always love hearing
hello,
from you.
Hello, Glenda. Hello.
Hello.
And hello to everyone. And I want to thank everyone for making my Sabbath so special and so wonderful. I so appreciate it. And I have a request for a special blessing. I have a friend who has faced cardiac challenges for many years now. And some of them have been very serious. Some years ago, she was at the Cleveland Clinic and had a surgery that lasted, I think, more than 10 hours. So she is facing large challenges in that arena, in her physical heart. And she has recently needed to schedule another cardiac procedure. And the doctors have told her that it may not be successful, and she may have to go back to Cleveland. Her name is Annika. She lives in Central Florida. And I ask a blessing that this upcoming procedure go wonderfully and that all of her caregivers be given divine insight and that she is strong in spirit and her sacred heart shines forth into her physical body and lifts her up and restores Christ's light throughout every cell in her body. We know it's always there. So, I ask that blessing for her. Her name is Annika, A-N-N-E-K-A. And then last week you asked us to meditate and pray on this upcoming change in your life. And I worked on where, and what I got the most strongly was a lake. I don't know how that fits in with every other information you've gotten, but I got a lake. So.
Oh, I would love that.
I
always love being near water. It just
I know, me too. Well, you know, that was one of my special purposes in coming to Earth this time was to be in, to work on water resources. And then if I may, I know you've got lots of people on the call, but I wanted to say to Christopher, I share the feeling that he has had in the past. I have felt trapped in my physical body, if you will. And then I thought about it more and more, and I realized, no, my physical body is a gift for my spirit to experience life on Earth. And now I kind of think about Earth and my experiences as spiritual boot camp. So when things happen, and they always do, I feel like, oh, this is making me a better spirit. So anyway, for
that
what it's worth,
beautifully
said. Off of that.
I love that. Yeah. Thank you, Nancy. You're an encyclopedia of wisdom.
I don't feel very wise most of the time, but I always feel God's love. And I thank you for your love and the love of this whole community. I feel it spreading out across the entire earth.
Yes,
we are
it
grateful
is.
To you. Thank you.
And it will continue to grow. So we and I just cannot wait to get finished with this transition in my life so that I can get back to work full time doing what I
do. I know. Won't it be wonderful? It'll be it's so exciting.
Days, I will be dancing. I will be dancing.
Yes.
In the thrill. I still do our work every day, but not without distraction. Because you can't get through a transition without putting your attention on it. So, let's move on. Nancy, it's been great talking to you. But we've got a few more people to pull up. And, what I love is that you don't just have one minister speaking to you. You've got many ministers that come on this line. And I just love what everybody has to say. Okay, well, let's see what Sarah has to say. Sarah, you're on. But we got to kind of make it short right now because we're moving towards the top of the hour.
Okay, this is Sarah Creary. I haven't called in a really long time, but
I know.
I've been on the calls at least most of, not the beginning, but I've been on and I've been doing the blessing with you every Sunday. So
great.
I'm with you.
Thank you.
But I'm calling in now because on Wednesday I went to my routine doctor's appointment and came out with finding out that I have full-blown diabetes, which was a surprise. It's not in my family. I had no symptoms that I could, it just was a total surprise. And I'm taking it, it doesn't feel devastating. It feels just more like, oh, everything's changed. I'm in a whole new ballgame. And it's challenging for me, the self-discipline involved and so on, and just sort of reorganizing my life. So I would love a blessing around moving through this challenge with, a certain amount of sort of grace or whatever. And,
and I'm so sorry to hear that. But, it will bring the challenges you needed. That will bring the enlightenment you're seeking. And if you embrace that attitude,
thank you, because I
you're
do
very
know.
Welcome. That's and I will keep you in my prayers as you go through this, Sarah.
All right, thank you.
All right. And Julie, hello.
Hello, Glenda. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Very good to speak with you. I just wanted to share some things that came up for me while everyone was sharing so beautifully. One of the things I would like to share is just an increased awareness I've had in recent days and weeks, even months, that we each have gifts, innate gifts, and my feeling is those gifts can be so innate that we don't even notice them. So,
yes.
know, there can be the idea, the thought, the, oh, if I've got a gift, I'm going to write a book, or I'm going to, you know, have a blog, or, you know, whatever, something very public, or, you know, that would be a gift. But really, what I've come to appreciate more and more is these innate gifts. They're so innate to us. It's what comes to mind to me is the butterfly. And they say that when a butterfly moves its wings, that according to quantum physics, the whole universe is changed. Well, the butterfly is just innately moving its wings. It's not even aware it's moving. It just happens. Well, the same thing for us. Like, you know, Glenda, you were saying that you realize that you have this innate, I'll call it a gift of kindness. Someone may have a laugh that just has a beautiful sound to it that just encourages people. You know, and so just by being ourselves, or who just we naturally are, I believe we help create a vibration that other people knowingly or unknowingly notice, and then they knowingly or unknowingly realize, well, they could just be themselves, and then their innate gifts impact someone else, just like that butterfly moving its wings. And the other thing I wanted to share in relation to that and some of the other comments is, you know, life can feel pretty bumpy. And then one of the things that's often come to my mind in recent days and even maybe years is the story about Apollo 13 when they were coming home, and pretty much the majority of the functionality in their capsule was not working. And I think, at least when I saw the movie, they even were using, like, slide rules back in the day to figure out their quadrants, and putting those in. And when they finally made that final journey back to the planet Earth, I believe there was three astronauts. There was the main one that had the controls. And as they came back to Earth, they had to stay within a certain band of energy, if you will. And if they had bumped
very narrow.
Would have been gone. And so they had to keep within that band of energy, but also that band of energy had an arc. It wasn't a straight shot. It was, you know, people were praying for them around the world. It was like a miracle. It was a miracle. But when that astronaut who had was guiding the capsule back was asked later on how he did that, he said, well, I just looked out the window. It was a small little portal. And I kept my eyes on Earth, and every time it moved, I just made a correction so I kept aligned with Earth. And I feel like our spiritual journey is the same, that as the road gets bumpy or we don't feel like we belong here or feel out of sorts, well, all we have to do is take a breath and focus our awareness on our hearts, our spiritual hearts. And just spend some time in that resonance, and then we get grounded back to who we are, which is, of course,
absolutely
the spirit of planet Earth. And I just wanted to share that with everyone.
Thank you so much. And it's so good to hear from you, Julie.
Thank you, too.
And everyone else, I am so sorry, but we really are out of time. And so I would love to stay on, but we have people around the world who join in for the blessing because they want to receive it. And that's what we really came here to do today. So I really do have to cut the call. Not the call, but our community sharing session. We just had so many people with so many good things to say today. So let's pick up next week where we left off today. There's always room for the next time. And I just want to be on this. I want to get you into the blessing spirit. Everybody needs to just relax. Shake out your arms and legs. Just collapse into your chair, your bed, your hammock, your front yard, wherever you are. And just let go. Let go of all your expectations. Let go of all your needs, let go of all your desires, so that you can be a sponge. Right now is the time to soak up. Be a sponge, and even take in more than you ask for. Take in because you won't take in anything that's not relevant to you. But you might not realize some of the things you need. You might need more than you think you do, and you might need more of something than you thought you did. We focus as humans on where the symptoms are, and we sometimes miss where the causes are. So that's why I tell you just to relax your mind and absorb. Be a sponge, take in everything that's going to be given to you. Now, I do want you to pray while we're conducting the energy blessing. I want you to be completely united and in your heart with the heart of God, okay? But let's just be open to all that can come from it. And I will ask the blessing givers to join me. And right now, I'm going to give my prayer to Yeshua. Dear Yeshua, we love you. We receive you with our whole life and our heart. And we thank you with all of our lives and hearts for what you've given us throughout our lives and throughout the ages, that we may be in the place we are and we may enjoy the life we have. We stand in gratitude and we stand in faith that the gifts that have been given shall grow and be multiplied, that we have more to give to others, and that through the giving of those gifts, our community will expand. We thank you for being so here, everywhere, with everyone on this earth. Even though not everyone knows they need you, you stand there and you give with a loving heart, because it is who you are. You are the Lord of life, the Son of God, the human presence fulfilled for all that it can be. And you stand as a model for us to grow in ourselves, to be all that we can be, and to be with our brothers and sisters, to create this family on earth. And of course, we ask that you help us be benevolent stewards through this beautiful earth. We hold her beauty in our minds. We hold the love of creation in our hearts. And we hold your hand as we go through this. Thanks for being with us. Amen. Blessing givers, let us begin. Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, you need to go and rest. And just keep a blank mind, an open heart, and lie like a sponge. I mean, lay there like a sponge. And just absorb whatever is going to be written on the blank slate of your life. Take it all in. Take the blessings. Receive and be grateful. And I look forward to being with you again next week. And we will forward our community every week on Tech and Earth. Bye-bye for now.